to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 2, read verses 1 through verse 12, very familiar passage of Scripture, one that we've preached from several times. But Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And again, he, that would be Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press or for the multitude, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they know that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. This, of course, is Mark's account of how four individuals carried a paralytic on his bed to where Jesus was, and how that Jesus miraculously healed this man, to the wonder of all who were there. Matthew records this event as well in Matthew chapter 9, and Luke records it as well in Luke chapter 5. Our text opens with Jesus having returned to Capernaum. We read in verse 1, And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. So from that statement, we see that Jesus had been there some days before. From chapter 1, we learn that previously in Capernaum, Jesus had taught in the synagogue, astonishing the people with his doctrine and his manner of teaching. And in that same synagogue, he delivered a man from the oppressive power of a demon, which also left the people amazed and talking among themselves. And as a result of that, we read in Mark 1:28, his fame spread about throughout all the region. We also learn from chapter 1 concerning his previous visit to Capernaum that Simon and Andrew had a house in Capernaum. And Jesus entered that house with James and John and healed Simon's mother-in-law. News then spread that Jesus was in that house, and as the sun was setting, a great multitude had gathered to that house, bringing with them the diseased and the possessed, and we read that Jesus healed them. We read in verse 37 of Mark chapter 1 that as a result of these miracles, all men were seeking Christ. And in verse 38, to escape the frenzy, Jesus leaves Capernaum and preaches throughout Galilee, which testifies, of course, that their seeking of Christ was not sincere. They really weren't seeking him. They were seeking his miracles. But coming to chapter 2, after some days had passed, Jesus had been preaching in Galilee, and after some days had passed, Jesus returns to Capernaum. And due to what he had done there previously, word quickly spread Jesus is back. Jesus is back. And as that word began to spread through Capernaum, the excitement began to build. And we are told in verse 2 that many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them into the house. The house was full. Not so much as about the door. That is, people were everywhere, all around that house. They came in droves to that house where Jesus was. With the gathering of this great multitude, we read in verse 2 that Jesus preached the word unto them. And gathered at that house that day was this great multitude of people from Capernaum. From what Jesus said of Capernaum in Luke chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, we see that the people were indifferent spiritually. They were a very uncommitted people. They were a people who were unchanged by the message of God. They were a people who were unchanged by the works of God. God did more works in Capernaum than any other city. And yet the people remained the same. So they were a people who wanted the miraculous. They wanted to witness the miraculous. But they over and over and over rejected the one who did the miraculous. The miracle worker. Overall, this was the character of the multitude that had gathered. They were curiosity seekers. They were not truly Christ seekers, but they were curiosity seekers. They wanted to be witness of anything spectacular that might happen, though they really were not a part of it at all. They were just there. They were there. That's true of a lot of people. They're just there. They're just there. Message doesn't really change them. They're just there. This is the case here. And as a result, by just being there, they did not really receive a life-changing benefit from Christ. Also, part of that multitude consisted of scribes and Pharisees. We read in verse 6 that there were certain of the scribes sitting there. There they were, sitting there. And in Luke's account, in Luke 5, verse 17, he refers to them as Pharisees and doctors of the law. These were self-righteous individuals, religious hypocrites. They made up the religious system of Christ's day. These individuals, as you follow them through the Gospels, you see that they possessed a very critical spirit, and they were always trying to find fault with Christ. They would gather to hear Him preach just to find fault with Christ. And wherever they were present, they always put a damper upon spirituality. Just their presence. All they had to do was walk in the door, and a damper was put upon spirituality. But there they were. But they're not seeking the Lord. They're not seeking the truth. They're only there to criticize. They're only there to find fault with the message. Again, in verse 6 of our text, we see they were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. So we have this multitude gathered in and around the house. There are the Pharisees. So we have the multitude, we have the Pharisees, and neither one had any personal connection to Christ. Neither one had any personal affection to Christ. Neither one had any personal knowledge of Christ. Neither one had any real personal interest in Jesus Christ. Nothing is said of the multitude, nothing is said of the Pharisees that they were possessing of faith. But then we read of another group of people that made up this multitude. In verse 3, one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried of 4. 1 plus 4 is 5. 5 individuals that we must view as separate, and apart from all that were gathered around that house. We must view these five as separate and apart from the scribes and the Pharisees that were sitting there. We must view these five as people of faith. They had faith individually. They had faith collectively. And they were harmonious in their faith. So there's the multitudes. They surround the house. There are the Pharisees. And the multitudes that surrounded that house and the Pharisees that were in that house, they both heard the truth that was preached that day. They both witnessed that which was truly amazing. Yet neither were the personal recipients of what they heard or what they saw. So we need to ask ourselves, and we need to make personal examination. To what group do we belong? The multitude who's just there? The scribes, the Pharisees? Or to these five? A people of faith. And that'll be our subject this morning. A people of faith. Now in this account, there's so much to be gleaned for our learning, for our encouragement. There are several places where we can stop and put emphasis. There are several places where we can stop and make application. But we want to focus upon these four individuals who carried the paralytic to where Jesus was. We want to take notice of this people of faith. Now, number one, everything in this account centers upon the fact that Jesus was in the house. You take that away, you have nothing. You have nothing. So everything centers upon this fact in verse 1. He was in the house. What a statement. Jesus was there. Now concerning this fact, we read in Luke's account, in Luke 5 verse 17, and the power, that is the ability, the strength, and the authority of the Lord was present to heal them. In other words, you put Mark 2 verse 2 together with Luke's statement, and we see Jesus was there, and He was Lord. Jesus was there, and He was Lord. So in that house was God. In that house was God in a body of flesh. In that house was the Almighty. In that house was the eternal, the immortal, the immutable, the infinite, the omniscient, the all-sufficient creator and sustainer of all. And He's in a body of flesh and He's in that house. Jesus was there. In that house is the living, conquering, triumphant, overcoming Lamb of God. Jesus was there. In that house is God's remedy. In that house is God's remedy and solution to man's greatest problem. In that house is God's provision for man's greatest need. Jesus was in that house. And He was there as Savior. He was there as Redeemer. He was there as shepherd. He was there as the friend of sinners. Jesus was there. And He was there as the manifestation of God's love. He was there as the manifestation of God's grace. He was there as the manifestation of God's mercy and God's goodness. In that house was Jesus. In that house was one who could impact and alter and transform every individual that had surrounded that house. In that house was the one who could alter and transform even the lives of the scribes and Pharisees that sat there to criticize. In that house was Jesus. All around that house and in that house were innumerable needs. But Jesus was there. And there was no condition. There was no situation. There was no circumstance. There was no sin. There was no guilt. There was no enslavement. There was no problem. There was no difficulty, no trial or disease or plague or affliction or wound that was beyond the one that was in that house. Everything in our text centers upon Jesus was there. Jesus was there. So let's look now at this people of faith. In verse 3, one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Five individuals. These are people of faith. And they are an example to us. And these five individuals are quite different than the multitude that surrounded that house. They are quite different than the scribes and Pharisees that were sitting there. First of all, these five individuals recognized a need. They not only recognized that they had a need, but they felt they had a need. Matthew, in referring to the paralytic, three times used the phrase sick of the palsy. And Mark used the phrase five times. In our text, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 9, verse 10, Mark uses that phrase sick of the palsy. Luke uses it one time in Luke chapter 5, verse 24. So that is a total of nine times. Nine times we are told that this man was sick of the palsy. What do we glean from that? Nine times, I believe we can safely say that this man was sick of the palsy. That this man was truly a paralytic. Due to the palsy, he was ailing. He was not doing well. He was sick. Sick of the palsy. He was ailing from the palsy. He was not doing well because of this paralysis. Now Luke, in Luke 5, verse 18, provides us with a little more detail as to the degree of the man's paralysis, saying that it was a man which was taken. That is, he was overcome and seized with a palsy. That is, this man was rendered incapable. He was in a state of hopelessness. So this man's condition is the palsy. That's his condition. And it's real. And it's widespread. It affected his entire life, so much so that he was taken in it. The impact of this man's condition upon his life was so great that he is simply known by the palsy. There he is. The one sick of the palsy. This was his condition, and this is what he was known by. In other words, this palsy was this man's life. We also read that due to this man's palsy, Matthew 9 verse 2 says that he was lying on a bed. And verse 4 of our text says, the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And Luke says in Luke 5 verse 18, in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. So this man's in bed. Without a doubt, this man knew that he was paralyzed. Without a doubt, this man recognized that this was his condition. This was his life. And the four individuals who carried them, we don't know who they were. You can speculate all you want, but you do not know who these four were. It doesn't matter. They were men of faith. And they also recognized this man's condition. And they recognized that his condition had an effect upon his entire life. So both the paralytic and the four knew that there was a need that was beyond themselves. There was a need that was beyond human ability. And in light of this, there was Jesus in the house. Secondly, these five individuals had a desire, had a longing concerning their need. Without a doubt, the man who was sick of the palsy had yearned to be rid of the paralysis. He yearned to walk. He yearned to have his life restored. And without a doubt, the four individuals who carried this man to where Jesus was, they also longed to see this man be rid of his palsy. They longed to see him walk. They longed to see his life restored. And they all knew, including the man who was the paralytic, they all knew that what they were dealing with was beyond all human ability. That it was beyond their ability. But they have a desire. They have a longing that this man be whole. And in light of that, we need to remember again, there was Jesus. There was Jesus. There are needs present, innumerable needs. And there are those here who long. And we need to realize that of all the needs that are present, Jesus is here. We also need to realize there are people who long to be freed. They long to have their needs met. And we need to view that in light of the presence of Christ. Also, there was faith in the person of Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that Jesus saw their faith. Now, faith must have an object to act upon. Jesus was there. Jesus was there. Now in verse 3, and they come unto him. They come unto him. In Matthew's account, in Matthew 9 and verse 10, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. And in verse 4 of our text, notice they uncovered the roof where he was. Where he was. And in Luke's account, Luke 5 verse 19, we see these five individuals before Jesus. So I believe we can safely say that Christ was the object of their faith. They have a need. They have a longing desire to have that need met. They have faith, and the object of their faith is Christ. The paralytic, the four, had heard that Jesus was in that house. They heard that. And they believed. I believe the paralytic and the four believed, and I believe they were absolutely convinced and fully persuaded that he, Jesus, was bigger than the paralysis. And that he was able to deliver, to cure, and to restore this man's life. They believed, they were absolutely convinced and fully persuaded that Jesus could strengthen this man, that he could bring relief and comfort to this one sick of the palsy. Faith must have an object. They believed Christ. They believed that Christ was able. Now faith will move us toward the object of our faith. The object of their faith is Christ. And their faith moves them in the direction of Christ. Fully conscious of great need, with a desire and longing concerning that need, and aware that Jesus was there, and believing and absolutely persuaded that Jesus was able, they move in the direction of Christ. We don't know how long it took them to get there, but we do believe that along the way, carrying this man, I'm sure that there were some obstacles. I'm sure that there were some difficulties. I'm sure that there were some rough and difficult spots along the way. But conscious of need and longing to have that need met and believing that Christ was able, they persevere through it all. And they arrive to where Jesus is. In other words, their faith moved them beyond all obstacles. Their faith moved them beyond what was between them and Jesus Christ. When they arrive at the house, the place where Jesus was, they find a huge gathering of people. They had a great need. They so longed to have that need met. And they knew that Jesus was in that house. And they knew that Jesus was able to meet their need. We read in Luke verse 5 and verse 18. They sought means to get him in. So they get to the house. And who knows how many rows of people were in front of them. And they tried and tried and tried to get to the door of that house. But everywhere they turned, there were people in the way. They would go over here and there was people in the way. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. We need to get through. And the people just stood there oblivious. And they see, we can't get through over here. So we go over here. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. We need to get through. And everybody just stood there. They were in the way. And they tried and tried and tried to find a way to get into that house. Their faith was causing them to pursue a nearness to Christ. Those who were standing outside, they may have been content to stand there. But these individuals, they are pursuing a nearness to Christ. We have to get to Christ, they're saying. This is what faith does. Faith always pursues a nearness to Christ. These individuals, the other individuals, they're just there. And they're in the way. But these five individuals are pursuing a personal encounter with Christ. So they go over here and they go over here, hoping to find an opening, but to no avail. We read in Luke 5 verse 19. They could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the press, because of people. People stood between them and Jesus Christ. There will always be people who get in the way. There will always be people who will try to get in the way of your relationship to Jesus Christ. But faith will move you beyond all the people. So there they were not going to let the people prevent them from getting near and experiencing Jesus Christ. In spite of the people in the way, and in spite of the frustration that they might have encountered, it would be frustrating. You've got to get to the door. You go over here and people are just oblivious. They're just standing in the way. So you go over here, same thing, over here, over here. No matter where you try to get through, that would be frustrating after a while. All these people are in the way. But they weren't going to get stuck in the midst of the people. May I say that's a horrible place to get stuck. People are in the way. If you're not careful, you'll get stuck there. And you know what happens when you get stuck with people that are in the way? You become a person in the way. That's a horrible place. But faith keeps on pursuing. Yes, there's these people, but faith keeps pursuing. And we read in Luke 5, verse 19, they went up upon the housetop. They rose above the crowd. Faith will do that. You see, you and I, we have to rise above the crowd. And it's faith that enables us to rise above the crowd. You can mark it down. Faith will raise you above the people who stand in the way. After struggling to get to the roof with the paralytic upon his bed, not being able to see Jesus, I can see them carrying that bed upon that roof. And they perhaps were trying to hear the voice of Jesus because he was preaching, so they could know exactly where he was. And perhaps his voice was muffled. But they eventually make their way to a place where they figure this is where he is. He's right below here. But there's another problem. The roof's in the way. The clay is in the way. And you can mark it down. Two things that will always be in the way. People and clay. People and clay will always be in the way. Clay representing the things of this world. So there they are again. We've risen above the crowd. We've struggled our way to get to this roof. And the roof's in the way. Christ is right below. So it says in Mark 2 verse 4, they uncovered the roof where he was. Notice where he was. So they got to the place where Jesus was. Faith will always do that. It'll lead you to the place where he is. And when they had broken it up, desperate for a miracle, they got the dirt out of the way. Many people are desperate for a miracle, but they're not willing to get the dirt out of the way. They're content to have the dirt stand between them and Christ. But these individuals, they so want to get near to Christ. They so want to experience Jesus Christ. They began to get the dirt out of the way. And we read in Luke 5, verse 19. Turn there if you will. They let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst. And then two wonderful words. before Jesus. They first got there. Jesus is in the house. They're on the outside trying to get near. But faith just kept on. They climbed up on that roof. Now what are we going to do? They got all the dirt out of the way. My point is that faith eventually brought them before Jesus. That's where we want to be. Before Jesus. It was here, before Jesus, that this one sick of the palsy could see him. They let his bed down before Jesus, right in front of him. This man could turn and he could see Jesus Christ. Oh, what a sight. Faith will lead you before Jesus. Faith will enable you to see wonderful things. But it was here before Jesus that he not only saw Christ, but he heard that loving word, Mark 2 and verse 5. Jesus said, "Son, son." Can you imagine the joy that filled the heart of this paralytic? There's Jesus. And he calls me son. That means he cares. That means he's concerned. That means he loves me. Son. It was here before Jesus that he heard those glorious words, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Son, your sins are removed. Son, your sins are blotted out. Son, your sins are washed away. Son, your sins are not imputed to you. Yes, there he was, before Jesus. And it was there that the load of his sin was lifted from him. Before Jesus, this man sick of the palsy, lying upon a bed, was given new life. This is where he found life. This is where he was enabled to rise and pick up his bed and walk before Jesus. It was before Jesus that a song of praise filled this man's heart. You get stuck in the multitude, that's not where you'll find a song of praise filling your heart. And even if you get past the multitude and get stuck up on the roof, that's not where you'll find a song filling your heart. Where you'll find a song filling your heart is before Jesus. And it's faith that gets you there. It's faith that brings us before Jesus. It was here before Jesus that this man went home a new man. Faith had brought them to the place of the miraculous and the place of blessing. And it's 3 minutes to 12. We read in Luke's account, chapter 5, verse 25, that this man departed to his own house, glorifying God. Picture them carrying this paralytic to the house. There he was, bouncing upon the pallet. Oh, oh! And I'm sure along the way there were some moans. There were some groans. Perhaps some murmuring. But he went home. He wasn't carried home. He went home walking. He went home carrying his pallet. He went home glorifying God. This man had a new life. And I'm sure along the way home, he told everybody what the Lord had done. He said just a little bit ago, I was carried on this bed. You see this bed? I was confined to this bed. But I met a man named Jesus, and I'm carrying my bed. Amen. And when he got home, no one had to meet him at the door and assist him in the house. He opened the door and he walked through that house. No one had to carry him through the house. No one had to do anything. This man's life is new. But oh, what a wonderful trip he had home. And you and I are on our way home. And what a wonderful trip we'll have if we walk by faith. Because faith will carry us in the direction of Jesus Christ. So he returns home a new man. And don't you think that his home life was changed as well? Everyone that lived in that house, their life was changed. They no longer had to help him. They no longer had to wait on him. Everything in that home was changed. Changed. You see, a faith that moves you in the direction of Christ and brings you into the presence of Christ will make a difference in your home. It'll make a difference in the life that you live at home. It'll have an effect upon your home. Jesus had made a difference in every aspect of this man's life. All for a faith that moves us in the direction of Christ. That brings us into the very presence of Christ. But in closing, by way of application, we see here an example of the individual faith that we need. This paralytic had faith. The four individuals that carried him had faith. They each had individual faith. And we need that individually. We need a faith that will move us in the direction of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're going to come upon a multitude of people. And the people are going to be in the way. But we have a need. And we have a desire to see that need met. And we have a faith. And that faith believes that Jesus is able. And that faith is going to carry me past that crowd. That faith is going to raise me above that crowd. And that faith is going to bring me into the presence of Jesus Christ. We need that individual faith. But they also had a collective, harmonious faith in action. I pray that God would give us individual faith that these had. But these four individuals, we'll just look at the four right now. These four individuals, by faith, harmoniously carried a paralytic upon his bed to Christ. They were in harmony. Why? Because they all saw need. They all knew that Jesus was what they needed. And believing that, they moved forward harmoniously in the direction of Christ. Along the way, I don't believe anybody said, "Hey, stop! Don't you know that's not the way you carry that corner? Here, let me show you how to do it. I got to show you everything. This is how you carry the corner. Stop! You're walking too fast. That's not how fast you're supposed to walk." Yeah, that's how it would be today. They would have never got there. "Hey, I'm breaking fellowship with you. You don't know how to carry the corner of a bed. I'm breaking fellowship with you. You don't know how to walk right." No, they had harmonious faith. And they were all moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. Now upon that bed was that paralytic. But you and I can place anything you want to upon that bed today. It can be difficulties, desperate situations, burdens of all kinds, problems, trials, tribulations, pressures, afflictions, temptations, battles, struggles, storms, fears, uncertainties. Place whatever you will upon that bed. But there is a bed of need. And there are these individuals. There's a need on that bed. And they desire to see that need met. There are needs here. And there are those who desire to see that need met. And they were aware Jesus is in that house. We have got to get to that house because we believe and we're fully persuaded and we are fully convinced that He is able to meet our need. So what we're going to do is we're going to band together and we're going to move toward that house in faith. That's what we need. There are needs. And we need some individuals who have enough faith to say, I'll take a corner. And another individual say, I'll take a corner. And another individual say, I'll take a corner. And another individual say, I'll take a corner. And they've all taken a corner. And now they're moving in the direction of Christ. Amen. We need to be a people of faith. Someone comes with a prayer request. We need to band together in faith. I'll take a corner. I'll take a corner. I'll take a corner. And there we go, moving in the direction of Christ. And along the way, there's going to be some rough spots. Along the way, there's going to be some difficult spots. But we're going to keep on moving. We're going to keep on moving in the direction of Christ because we know He's what we need. And there's going to be some people in the way. Don't use people as an excuse. People will always be in the way. And when you overcome this person, there'll be another one. There'll always be people in the way. There'll always be dirt in the way. But faith says, I have this need. I desire for this need to be met. And I believe that Jesus is able to meet that need. And I'm just going to keep on going until I'm in the very midst of Jesus Christ. Faith is not satisfied with anything less than being in the midst of Christ. Oh, that husbands and wives and sons and daughters, there's needs in homes, and that husbands and wives and sons and daughters would say, I'm going to take a corner. I'm going to take a corner. And we as a family are going to move in the direction of Jesus Christ. We're not going to get stuck in the midst of the people. We're not going to get stuck up on the roof. We have these needs as a family, and we're going to move in the direction of Christ. That's what marriage ought to be. It ought to be husband and wife carrying a bed of need together harmoniously in the direction of Jesus Christ. Not in opposite directions. But carrying that bed together. And all the church members would band together to take a corner of the bed. Well, I don't want to take the corner of Brother so-and-so. He doesn't walk fast enough. He doesn't carry the bed right. You just take a corner. And faith, keep on moving in the direction of Christ. There are many and various needs present here today. Are you willing to take a corner of the bed of need and move by faith in the direction of Jesus Christ? And if you're here and lost today, we pray before this life is over, we pray that today you would find yourself before Jesus. That's your hope. That's your only hope. That you would see Him. That you would see your need. You're in bondage to sin. That you would see your need.
that you would look to Him and hear those words, "Son or daughter, thy sins are forgiven thee." And you go home a different person. Again, if you're here and lost, you need to trust Him. You need to trust Him. There is no other way. You know these individuals? Yeah, we know Jesus is in this house, but over here there's someone else. You go all the houses you want. The man still would have been a paralytic. There's only one place he could have gone and be freed from his paralysis. And that was to where Jesus was. You can waste all your time going to all the houses on the block. Go to every house in Capernaum. But until you get to the house where Jesus is, nothing's going to change. Nothing. So we need a faith that'll move us in the direction of Jesus Christ. I long to see Home Baptist Church that we would each member here would stand up and say, "I have a need, and brother so and so has a need, and sister so and so has a need. But I believe that Jesus is able to meet that need. And we're going to move together harmoniously in the direction of Jesus Christ." Can you grab a corner today and move in that direction? Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse 1.